Romans chapter 3 on Through the Word. Today, the verdict is in. Romans 3 has one of the most important passages in the entire Bible. We'll be there soon, but first, let's review. Paul opened the letter, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation." Paul's laying out the power of the gospel, and the gospel is all about how to get right with God, righteous. Righteousness is the only ticket to heaven. Be right with God, live right in God's sight. But to get us right with God, Paul first has to show us that we are not right with God. So Paul takes all of us to court. It's a preview, really. Paul walks us through the reality of Judgment Day, when we will face trial. The case presented came first against the godless and the wicked in chapter 1, the Gentiles, latent sinners with no excuse. Then Paul turned on the religious in chapter 2, the Jews, who thought that having God's law made them right, thought knowing God's word made them jurors, not defendants. But that same law proved them just as guilty. But we're not ready for the verdict just yet. Chapter 3 opens with several challenges from the accused. Basically, Paul anticipates the questions, and he answers them. In verse 5, he calls these human arguments. The first one comes from the Jews, in verse 1. What advantage, then, is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Essentially, the Jews are asking why God called them his chosen people if they get judged just like the godless. What do they get out of it? Verse 2 has the answer. Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. So Paul says there are plenty of blessings being Jewish, especially having the word. Now, Paul will deliver a thorough answer in chapters 9 to 11. But for now, being Jewish is a blessing, but it is not a free pass from judgment. In the same way, just being religious does not give anyone a get-out-of-hell-free card. And then one of the godless speaks up in verse 3. What if some were unfaithful? He's pointing at the religious crowd now. Hey, you just said that those guys are hypocrites, right? So how can I be expected to trust that God is faithful when his people are clearly unfaithful? This is the classic religious people are hypocrites excuse. So Paul answers, will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar. In other words, no matter what people do, God is still true. Now, if the hypocrites were your judge, that would not be fair. But they are not. God is your judge, and God is fair. Back in verse 4, as it is written, so that you, that's God, may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. The third question comes in verse 5. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? In other words, my evil darkness just makes God's light look more brilliant, so God judging me isn't fair. It's unjust. After all, I'm only human. It's a fool's defense. Follow that thinking, and Paul says you're basically telling God not to judge anyone. Just let all the evil go. It's a bad idea. Now, the arguments are done. Every excuse falls flat. There's just no way to work the evidence to get out of this one. C.S. Lewis put it this way. No clever arrangement of bad eggs will make a good omelet. In verse 9, the closing arguments. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. Have you ever stood in a courtroom at that moment when the verdict was about to be read? This is that moment. And since the self-appointed jury is just as guilty as the defense, Paul goes to the Old Testament, taking 6 different quotes, so that the final verdict is not his conclusion, but the very words of God. Verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. The verdict, guilty as charged. Picture your day in God's court. All is revealed. The verdict is in. All that remains is sentencing. But then, someone new, a public defender, with a plea bargain. Don't leave yet. There may be hope.